I'm glad to be back with you. We're going to do something a little different. We're going to start out with the Holy Father's monthly intentions. Then we're going to read some spiritual reading from St. Faustina's beautiful inspired diary. And then we'll proclaim a gospel reading. Then we'll do the shortened divine office. Let us pray that we might again learn how to discern, to know how to choose paths of life and reject everything that leads us away from Christ and the gospel. This is the Pope's monthly intention, picked by our late Pope, Holy Father, Pope Francis. This is the prayer, the longer monthly prayer. To learn to live, one must learn to love. Sometimes we take the wrong path on the journey of love. Because to love, one must also know how to discern. Holy Spirit, light of our understanding, serene impulse of our decisions, grant me the grace of attentive listening to your voice, to discern the passwords of my heart, that which I am most sensitive to understand what is truly important to me, and to rid myself of what disturbs my heart. I ask for the grace to learn to pause, to become aware of my way of acting, of the feelings that inhabit me, and of the reoccurring thoughts that condition me, and that I often do not notice. I want to know myself and understand my deepest desires, so that my decisions lead me to the joy that only comes from you. Even if I have to go through uncertainties and hardships, even if I have to fight, think, and seek, in the end, your joy in me is the fruit of the right decision. Grant me to know myself more, to know you more, to love you more, and serve you more. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. St. Faustina is an advanced spiritual role model and athlete. She's going to tell us about one of her deepest trials in our spiritual reading today. A reading from the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska, Divine Mercy in My Soul. Trials sent by God to a soul that is particularly loved by Him. Temptations and darkness, Satan. The soul's love for God is still not such as God would have it. The soul suddenly loses the tangible perception of God's presence. Various defects and imperfections rise up within it, and it must fight them furiously. All her faults lift up their heads, but the soul's vigilance is great. The former awareness of the presence of God gives place to coldness and dryness. The soul has no taste for spiritual exercises. It cannot pray, either in the old way or in the manner in which it had just learned it to pray. It struggles this way and that, but can find no satisfaction. God has hidden himself from it, and it can find no consolation in creatures, nor can any of these creatures find a way of consoling it. The soul craves passionately for God, but sees its own misery. It begins to sense God's justice. It seems to it that it has lost all the gifts that God had given it. Its mind is dimmed, and darkness fills it. Unspeakable torment begins. The soul tries to explain its state to the confessor, but it is not understood and is assailed by an even greater unrest. Satan begins his work. Faith staggers under the impact. The struggle is fierce. The soul tries hard to cling to God by an act of will. But with God's permission, Satan goes even further. Hope and love are put to the test. These temptations are terrible. God supports the soul in secret, so to speak. The soul is not aware of this, but otherwise it would be impossible to stand firm, and God knows very well how much he can allow to befall a soul. The soul is tempted to unbelief in respect to revealed truths, and to insincerity toward the confessor. Satan says to it, "Look, no one understands you. Why speak about all this? Words that terrify it sound in its ears, and it seems to the soul that it is uttering these against God. It sees what it does not want to see. It hears what it does not want to hear. And oh, it is a terrible thing at times like these not to have an experienced confessor. The soul carries the whole burden alone. However, one should make every effort to find, if it is at all possible, a well-informed confessor. For the soul can collapse under the burden and come to the very edge of the precipice. All these trials are heavy and difficult. God does not send them to a soul which has not already been admitted to a deeper intimacy with Him, and which has not already tasted the divine delights. Besides, in this, God has His own plans, which for us are impenetrable. God often prepares a soul in this way for His future designs and great works. He wants to try it as pure gold is tried, but this is not yet the end of the testing. There is still the trial of trials, the complete abandonment of the soul by God. The trial of trials, complete abandonment, despair. When the soul comes out victorious from the preceding trials, even though it may stumble here and there, it fights on valiantly, humbly calling upon God, "Save me, I am perishing," and it is able to fight on. At this point, however, the soul is engulfed in a horrible night. It sees within itself only sin. It feels terrible. It sees itself completely abandoned by God. It feels itself to be the object of His hatred. It is but one step away from despair. The soul does its best to defend itself. It tries to stir up its confidence. But prayer is an even greater torment to it, as this prayer seems to arouse God to an even greater anger. The soul finds itself poised on the summit of a lofty mountain, on the very brink of a precipice. The soul is drawn to God, but feels repulsed. All other sufferings and tortures in this world are as nothing compared with this sensation into which it has been plunged, namely that of being rejected by God. No one can bring it any relief. It finds itself completely alone. There is no one to defend it. It raises its eyes to heaven, but is convinced that this is not for her. For her, all is lost. It falls deeper and deeper from darkness to darkness, and it seems to it that it has lost forever the God it once used to love so dearly. This thought is torture beyond all description. But the soul does not agree to it, and tries to lift its gaze toward heaven, but in vain, and this makes the torture even more intense. So, let's think about it. First off, people that are pretty versed in Catholic spirituality kind of know what she's going through. She's talking autobiographical, even though she keeps saying, "A soul, a soul, a soul." She's basing this teaching that she's giving in the book on her own experiences. And it's called The Dark Night of the Senses or The Dark Night of the Soul, and I always get them mixed up. It's been a long time since I listened to that teaching. But people go through this. People with an amazing love of Jesus Christ and of God the Father, and embraced by the Holy Spirit, they go through this. And even if we don't necessarily go through a dark night of the soul per se, I think we can kind of meditate on this and learn, first off, how to respond. Because when she keeps saying a soul will get through it this way, that's like a clue that she was able to get through this way by saying this prayer, this way by placing trust in God. And you kind of think, what would cause somebody to be able to put trust in you? So, you know, I think meditating on that can actually help us when we feel we are being very much sorely tried as well. So I kind of read that over the last couple of days and wanted to put that in there. Let's look at the gospel. Not the gospel from Mass. We can do that later. It's just a gospel from my read-through. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simeon? and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. At that time, Herod the ruler heard reports about Jesus, and he said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead, and for this reason, these powers are at work in him. Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. That can be an opportunity. That was Matthew chapter 13, 54 through 58, and 14, verse 1. So the end of chapter 13 of Matthew and the first verse of chapter 14, if you want to go look at it and reflect on it later. In the meantime, I'd like to pray the shortened form of the divine office. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. Psalm 48. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain rises in beauty, the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, true pole of the earth, the great king's city. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. God is in the midst of its citadels. God in the midst of its citadels has shown himself its stronghold. For the kings assembled together, together they advanced. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. They saw at once, they were astounded, dismayed, they fled in fear. A trembling seized them there like the pangs of birth. By the east wind you have destroyed the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of our God, in the city of the Lord of hosts, which God upholds forever. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. O God, we ponder your love within your temple. Your praise, O God, like your name, reaches the ends of the earth. With justice your right hand is filled. Mount Zion rejoices. The people of Judah rejoice at the sight of your judgments. Walk through Zion, walk all around it, count the number of its towers. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. Review all its ramparts, examine its castles, that you may tell the next generation that such is our God, forever and always. It is He who leads us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is great and worthy to be praised in the city of our God. Listen to my words, give ear to my precepts. A reading from the first book of Kings, the beginning of the prophet Elijah's mission in the reign of Ahab, king of Israel, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah. Ahab, son of Omar, became king of Israel. He reigned over Israel in Samaria for 22 years. Ahab, son of Omar, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than any of his predecessors. It was not enough for him to imitate the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. He even married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went over to the veneration and worship of Baal. Ahab erected an altar to Baal in the temple of Baal, which he built in Samaria. He also made a sacred pole. He did more to anger the Lord, the God of Israel, than any of the kings of Israel before him. During his reign, Hillel from Bethel rebuilt Jericho. He lost his firstborn son, Jeroboam, when he laid the foundation, and his youngest son, Segub, when he set up the gates, as the Lord had foretold through Joshua, son of Nun. Elijah the Tishbite from Tibish in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, during these years there shall be no dew or rain except at my word." The Lord then said to Elijah, "Leave here, go east and hide in the Wadi Cherith, east of the Jordan. You shall drink of the stream, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there." So he left and did as the Lord had commanded. He went and remained by the Wadi Cherith, east of the Jordan. Ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the stream. After some time, however, the brook ran dry, because no rain had fallen in the land. So the Lord said to him, "Move on to Zarath of Sidon, and stay there. I have designated a widow there to provide for you." He left and went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the entrance of the city, a widow was gathering sticks there. He called to her, "Please bring me a small cupful of water to drink." She left to get it, and he called out after her, "Please bring along a bit of bread." "As the Lord your God lives," she answered, "I have nothing baked. There is only a handful of flour in my jar and a little oil in my jug. Just now, I was collecting a couple of sticks to go in and prepare something for myself and my son. When we have eaten it, we shall die." "Do not be afraid," Elijah said to her. "Go and do as you propose, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me. Then you can prepare something for yourself and your son. For the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the day when the Lord sends rain upon the earth.'" She left and did as Elijah had said. She was able to eat for a year, and he and her son as well. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of water oil run dry, as the Lord had foretold through Elijah. Responsory prayer. Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and no rain fell. He prayed again, and rain poured down from heaven. Then the prophet Elijah arose like a torch, like a fire, and his words burned like a torch. By the word of the Lord, he shut up the heavens. He prayed again, and rain poured down from heaven. Second reading from the beginning of the treatises on the mysteries by St. Ambrose, Bishop. Catechesis on the rites preceding baptism. We gave a daily instruction on right conduct when the readings were taken from the history of the patriarchs or the maxims of Proverbs. These readings were intended to instruct and train you so that you might grow accustomed to the ways of our forefathers, entering into their paths and walking in their footsteps, in obedience to God's commands. Now the season reminds us that we must speak of the mysteries, setting forth the meaning of the sacraments. If we had thought fit to teach these things to those not yet initiated through baptism, we should be considered traitors rather than teachers. Then, too, the light of the mysteries is of itself even more effective where people do not know what to expect than where some instruction has already been given beforehand. Open, then, your ears. Enjoy the fragrance of eternal life, breathed on you by means of the sacraments. We explained this to you as we celebrated the mystery of the opening, when we said, "Epitha," that is, "be opened." Everyone who was to come for the grace of baptism had to understand what he was to be asked, and must remember what he was to answer. This mystery was celebrated by Christ when he healed the man who was deaf and dumb, in the gospel which we proclaimed to you. After this, the Holy of Holies was opened for you. You entered into the sacred place of regeneration. Recall what you were asked. Remember what you answered. You renounced the devil and his works, the world and all its dissipation and sensuality. Your words are recorded not on a monument to the dead, but in the book of the living. There you saw the Levite, you saw the priest, you saw the high priest. Do not consider their outward form, but the grace given by their ministries. You spoke in the presence of angels, As it is written, the lips of a priest guard knowledge, and men seek the law from his mouth. For he is the angel of the Lord Almighty. There is no room for deception, no room for denial. He is an angel whose message is the kingdom of Christ and eternal life. You must judge him not by his appearance, but by his office. Remember that what he handed on to you, weigh up his value, and so acknowledge his standing. You entered to confront your enemy, for you intended to renounce him to his face. You turned toward the east, for one who renounces the devil turns toward Christ and fixes his gaze directly on him. Responsory prayer. We were once foolish, disobedient, and misled. We then lived in malice and envy, hateful ourselves. We hated one another. Because of his mercy, God has saved us through the baptism of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. All our lives were once ruled by physical desires. I'm yawning. I don't understand why. And by nature, we deserved God's wrath. Because of his mercy, God has saved us through the baptism of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Te Deum, because this is a Sunday, we have a special prayer in our Liturgy of the Hours, Divine Office. You are God, we praise you. You are the Lord, we acclaim you. You are the Eternal Father, all creation worships you. To all angels, all the powers of heaven, cherubim and seraphim, sing in endless praise. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. The glorious company of apostles praise you, the white-robed army, fellowship of prophets praise you, the noble fellowship of prophets praise you, the white-robed army of martyrs praise you. Throughout the world, the Holy Church acclaims you, Father of majesty unbounded, your true and only Son, worthy of all worship, and the Holy Spirit, advocate and guide. You, Christ, are the King of glory, the eternal Son of the Father. When you became man to set us free, you did not spurn the Virgin's womb. You overcame the sting of death and opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You are seated at God's right hand in glory. We believe that you will come and be our judge. Come then, Lord, and help your people, bought with the price of your own blood, and bring us with your saints to glory everlasting. Save your people, Lord, and bless your inheritance. Govern and uphold them now and always. Day by day we bless you. We praise your name forever. Keep us today, Lord, from all sin. Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy. Lord, show us your love and mercy, for we put our trust in you. In you, Lord, is our hope, and we shall never hope in vain. So with that, we're going to continue on to our final prayer. God our Father, your light of truth guides us to the way of Christ. May all who follow him reject what is contrary to the gospel. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. O God, you show the way of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path. Give all who, for the faith they profess, are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's do like a little shortened liturgy of the word, since it is Sunday. Even though that's plenty of the word of God, let's just go through and look and profess our faith in the minimum amount of time. That should make it about half an hour, since we're already almost there anyway. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Father and the Son, is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in the book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky and get it for us and tell of us of it, that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The word of the Lord. Psalm 69. "Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live," is the antiphon. "I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. Seek you, lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurns not. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall inhabit it. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in him all things, in all things he himself, that in him he is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him, through all the fullness was pleased to dwell in, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross. Through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Your words, O Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. Alleluia, alleluia. Who is my neighbor is the caption. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, part of chapter 10. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said to him in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jericho to Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when they saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper, with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. So those are our readings for today. Not going to give any preaching or commentary or reflection, but this really good Bishop Robert Barron homily is out there if you want to look it up. It's like called The Natural Law or something like that. And he takes this passage in a very unusual and educational direction, really focusing more on the first reading. But anyway, here we go. We're going to want to do the intercessions and finish this out. Final prayer. We turn to the great kindness of God the Father, asking him to answer us with his constant help. In faith we pray for the Pope and all bishops and priests, that they may govern the Church with God's wisdom and serve the faithful with Christ's love, that Christ may guide the minds of all civil leaders so as to promote the common good according to God's will, that our parish may be a vibrant community of prayer, evangelization, and charitable action, that the Lord will be close to the poor, the sick, the dying, the lonely, the unemployed, the addicted, and the homeless, for the souls in purgatory, that through our prayers and sacrifices they may enter into the glory of heaven, for the grace to be compassionate and merciful to all the needy in our life, and to love God with our whole heart. And for all of your personal intentions, we pray to the Lord. Loving Father, let us see your kindness and grant us your salvation through Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for their love they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.